Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillment of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute. And we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, Streaming Plus license, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless from the Haven of Hope Church.
Philippians 2 and 5 says, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow to things of heaven and things of earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Christ Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Somebody lift up Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody glorify the Lord today. Thank you. Just cause it's dark and gloomy outside don't mean it needs to be dark and gloomy inside. Praise God. Praise God. Would you stretch your hands this way and pray for me this morning? My most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, I approach your throne of grace today. I seek your divine unction upon me today, dear God. I seek your Holy Spirit's anointing, dear God, as I bring forth this word. Let me be your vessel today, dear God. Let your anointing flow through me and let me speak, dear God, that word which you would have me bring. Let your power and spirit move through me today, dear God, that I might glorify you with every word that comes out of my mouth, that it might be pleasing in your sight, and let it go up, dear God, as a fragrance and burning with the incense in the throne room of God, dear Lord, and go into your nostrils. And, dear Lord, let it go forth today as a means by which all those under the sound of my voice would find their souls and spirits blessed and nourished, dear God, in the blessed and holy and righteous name of Jesus. We thank you and pray. And everybody said, amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. A fairly well-known preacher was invited to a very huge event. It was a secular event. It wasn't a church event. It was a secular event. He was invited to that event to pray. And it was a very big-name individual who had invited him to go and pray. This has only been just a little few years ago. And it was a Christian big-name person. And he wondered, this pastor, he wondered to himself, why did this guy want him to come to an event, a public secular event in Washington, D.C., to pray over that enormous event? 200,000 people. And the pastor, when he was asked by this big-name individual, the pastor said, "Sure, I'll come do it." So he takes a red-eye flight out of San Francisco to Washington, D.C., and when he gets there, The next morning, he's told by this big name friend of his that there's been a change in the program. When the organizers of the event found out that he had asked this Christian pastor to come pray, they said, in the interest of fairness and political correctness, we have to invite several others of other denominations and other religions to come pray. And they needed to invite other faiths to come pray. There was a universalist minister, there was a Muslim imam, and there was one or two other kinds of faiths. And his friend asked him, he said, you want to go first or you want to go last? He said, oh no, God just told me I need to go last so I can correct all these mistakes. Oh. Hallelujah. So the universalist minister said, God, you're the God of many names and no name at all. You're the air, you're the wind, you're the rock, you're the leaf, you're the tree. You are everything, yet you are nothing. The imam, he stood up and prayed his prayer to Allah. The rabbi stood up and he prayed a pretty good prayer. But when it was time for the Christian pastor to come up, he grabbed the microphone and he said, in the name that is above all these other names, in the name of the one to whom every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, in the name of which salvation has come unto all mankind, in the name of he who saves, who delivers, who heals, he who is coming back again, in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray for this convention. And the convention came to an abrupt halt for about four or five minutes because the folks were shouting. They were clapping. They were praising. They were praying. Hallelujah. Because this anointed man of God stood up and prayed a simple prayer. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
There's a very simple answer to why this happened. The National DNC, they can boo at God all they want to, but there is still power in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. I said there is still power in the name of Jesus. Hope in a troubled, dying land. If you got a mountain you can't climb, you can take it to Jesus. There's still power in the name of Jesus. If you got an answer that you can't find, you can take it to Jesus because there's still power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you got a problem that you can't solve, you can take it to Jesus because there is still power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're down and out, if you're lost and alone, if you're sick and you want to get well, take it to Jesus because there's still power in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, lift him up. Hallelujah. Philippians 2 and 10 says, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Everything in heaven will bow to his name. Everything in the earth will bow to his name. Everything under the earth will bow to his name. Everything in the sea will bow to his name. There's still power in the name of Jesus. Somebody glorify God in this place this morning. You've heard me time and time again preach about healings and miracles that I have watched God do right in front of my eyes. The healings. Now I'm going to tell you something. There's been healings that we've seen right here in this house. There was a young man sitting right back there on the back row one Sunday morning, and he had been beaten, and he was blind in his right eye from that beating, and he had been blind for 6 to 8 months. Oh, and in the middle of the service, I didn't even lay hands on him. All that happened, we were preaching. I was preaching on salvation. I was preaching on healing. I was preaching on the miracles and the power of God. And all of a sudden, he stood up and he said, Pastor Matt, my eye just opened. I can see. God healed me right here. Hallelujah. And it wasn't long after that, another young man who was sitting on this side stood up, said, Pastor Matt, I've been deaf in this ear since I was 5 years old. I'm now 34 years old, and suddenly I can hear in my ear again. Come on, somebody. There is still power in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. We can, there is still healing. in the name of Jesus, by the virtue of the stripes upon his back at Calvary. We've seen blind eyes open. We've seen deaf ears open. We've seen broken bones mended. Young man sitting on the front row of this house broke his ankle the day before and came to a youth service on a Monday night, back when we had it on Mondays. And he had x-rays. He was wrapped up tight in a boot, in one of the hard boots. They were getting ready to put him in a cast the next day, waiting for swelling to go down. And he stood up and he started crying. He said, "Brother Mac, I know that God can heal me, and I know that God has healed me." He said, "I'm fixing to take this boot off and show you." I said, "Boy, don't you take that boot off if you don't know God's healed you. Don't you take that boot off if you don't know." He said, "Brother Mac, I know." I said, "Boy, you better be careful." He said, "I know, Brother Mac." He took that boot off and he started dancing across the floor.
Hallelujah.
He went back to the doctor, the hospital the next day, and he got more x-rays. There was no broken bone in the new x-rays. God had healed him right here. Hallelujah. Saints of God, we as believers in God, we have a contract. It's a blank contract. You know, their contracts are mighty powerful things once they're signed. Once the parties have signed the contract, they're binding. Once the parties have signed the contract, it has to happen that way, or there's legal repercussions. But we have a God who has signed a contract for us. His name is Jesus Christ. And he says, "Whatsoever you ask in my name, it shall be done of my Father." He says, "But two shall agree upon touching anything in my name, it shall be done of my Father." He said, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and say to this mountain, 'Be thou removed and cast into the sea,' it shall be done," hallelujah, "as according to your faith." He's given us a contract. I like this contract because there ain't no fine print.
That's right.
There ain't no print on it. What? Jesus Christ has given us, as children of God, he's given us a contract, a blank one, and went ahead and signed it. Wait a minute, Brother Matt. Somebody ever give you a blank check, sign it, says, "Here, go write it for what you want"?
No man.
Hallelujah. It would be mighty foolish of him to do that, wouldn't it? But our God has given us a blank contract, and he has signed his name to it. And he has said to you, child of God, get up from where you are, fill out this contract, and lay it on the altar of prayer. If the enemy has come against you, you've got a contract signed in my name where you can catch him by the back of the neck and force him to pay you back 7 times what he has stolen. I preached on this about 5 years ago, and when I got done preaching on it, folks started taking it to heart. Folks started saying, "Yes, I believe," and they started praying, and we started seeing testimonies of things that the devil had stolen from them, and they had caught him, and they demanded, "Devil, we caught you in the name of Jesus, and we demand you give it back to us sevenfold." And they started seeing it come back. We started seeing people walk back in these doors. We started seeing miracles happen. We started seeing things that had been taken be returned 7 times greater. We've got a blank contract, and it's signed by the name of Jesus. And it's signed in his own blood, so that we can fill in the rest like we need it. There have been so many times that people have come before me and come to me and said, "Brother Mac, I need you to pray for me. It's desperate. I need you to pray for me. I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to get through this." And I've had preachers come to me with dire needs and needing something. And they say to me, "I need you to do this for me. I need you to give me this. I need you to help me do that." And I'll say, "Well, I can't do that, but I will pray for you." And they'll say, and they have said to me, "Pray for me. If that's all you can do, don't bother."
Sure.
And I said to them, "Are you crazy?
I know your prayers. I know you got a direct line going.
Son, I ain't the only one. I'm telling you that my sister, when she has need of prayer, she don't call and say, 'Mac, will you pray for me?' She says, 'Mac, I need them church folks. She calls y'all my prayer warriors.' She says, 'I need that church to pray for me.' She said, 'Because every time
That church prays for me. God does what it is I need. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Saints of God, we need to be to the point that when we pray and start looking. We pray and start watching for it to come to pass. We pray and say, is that happening now? Is it happening then? I'm looking for it to happen when it does, because I'm believing what I'm praying, because my Lord has given me a signed contract. It has got the name of Jesus. There's still power in the name of Jesus. Yes. It's a signed contract and waiting for you to fill it in.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's time that we as believers started trusting God to the point that when we pray, when Paul and Silas, later it was Peter and John, they were going to the temple on the high Sabbath day, and they were approaching the gate beautiful. There was a man laying there who had been laying there. He was a paralytic. He was crippled. And he'd been laying in that bed every day since he was a toddler. And he laid by that gate beautiful, because that's where the most people passed by on the way to their high Sabbath. Everybody, almost everybody in Jerusalem had to pass by him to go to that temple service. And he was laying there with his tin cup, holding it up. Alms, help the poor, help me, I'm hungry, I can't work, help me please. Then Peter and John walked up on him. And the Bible says it this way. Peter and John walked up on him, and he looked up at them, and he didn't know who he was looking at. And he held up his cup before them, expecting to receive. Remember those words. He held his cup up. Because he was expecting, he looked at them and he thought, these guys are going to put something in my cup. He held his cup up and he could look at them and tell they had the love of God in their heart. He held up his cup. What was he doing? Expecting them to put something in. He held up his cup expecting to receive. Remember those words, expecting to receive. He held up his cup and looked at them. He didn't say nothing. And Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. Rise up and walk. And immediately, straightway, the man received strength in his ankle bones and in his legs, and he stood up and was healed, and he could walk. He didn't have to go through the process of having to learn how to walk. He didn't have to go through the process of strength returning to his legs that had been atrophied for 38 years. He just stood up and started walking. Better than that, my Bible tells me that he didn't go start walking. He took off running. He took off jumping. And he didn't just take off running and jumping in the street. He broke through the doors of the temple, running and jumping and dancing and shouting and praising God through the temple. Hallelujah. There is still power in the name of Jesus. I can't tell you, I have. It's time we as believers had signs following us. My sister looks upon this church as somebody that can get a prayer through.
That's right.
She ain't the only one. There's a bunch of folks that contact me, and they look upon us in this church as somebody that can get a prayer through. We can see things happen when we pray. They know that about us. That's because God has put us here as one of his vessels. As a haven of hope for the hopeless in these last days, God has put us here for that. Now, I'm not being braggadocious. I'm on us, because there's nothing about us except that we trust in the living God, the one who can answer these prayers, the one who can meet these needs, the one who can glorify himself through the answer of these prayers. Hallelujah. It's time that we are believers. I've used this phrase before. It's time we got blood in our teeth. Some of y'all say it. Some of y'all watching my live stream say, Brother Matt, what in the world do you mean? A predator, the cheetah, is one of the fastest land animals on the planet. He's the fastest, but that he ain't got that much endurance. He can chase down his prey and catch him, but if he don't get him on that first strike, they can get away. And after they get away, he's winded and can't hardly catch it. But that cheetah If he on his first strike, if he hits that antelope and clamps down on it with his teeth and gets flesh and gets a little taste of blood in his teeth, something happens to his stamina. When he gets blood in his teeth, the baser instincts of the predator takes over. And he'll kill himself then, catching that antelope. If he ever gets blood in his teeth, I dare say that antelope will not get away again. He will catch it. Because if he's hungry and he gets that blood in his teeth and he started and he tastes the juices of that meal, of his favorite meal going into his teeth and his tongue and going down his throat, his baser instincts say, you're going to catch him or you're going to die. And he will nearly kill himself to catch him, and he will. But what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that when it comes to praying and seeking the face of God and seeing miracles come to pass and having signs follow after us, we need to get blood in our teeth.
That's right.
I'm saying it don't matter if you don't see an answer to prayer the first time you pray. It's like I was telling somebody last night, that widow, or this morning, the widow, the parable of the widow that kept going to the judge and kept asking him and asking him and asking him about praying and asking him to meet this need and to solve this issue. He finally got tired and gave up and gave her what he wanted, what she wanted. I'm telling you that as Christians, we need to not give up on our prayers. We need to not give up on our loved ones. We need to not give up on our health, on our family. We need to not give up on the spiritual move of God in our life. We need to not give up on our faith. Hallelujah. I had a young minister contact me a while back. And he was troubled. He didn't want to talk to anybody else. He knew I wasn't going to say nothing about what he was going to tell me. But he told me that he was considering leaving the ministry. He didn't know if maybe God had another plan for him. And he called me and he wanted me to pray. He didn't ask me what to do. He called me and asked me to pray. And I had a Bible, a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, that was my first Christmas gift from Sarah when she was a baby. And I had used it, and it had marks in it, highlight marks in it, notes in it. I had been using it for 25, 30 years. And the Lord told me to take that Bible and lay it on his chest and give it to him and say, this is my word, saith the Lord. I have given it unto you to speak and for you to carry it wherever you go. And I spoke to the young man and I said, open your eyes, son. You're already in the direction God wants you to go. God is using you mightily in this area. He's using you mightily in that area. God is using you mightily in another area. God is using you mightily. Stop searching for something that God has already placed in your path. Something you've been walking in for a while now. Praising God. Somebody lift up the name of Jesus, because you are a child of the King and he's got a path laid out before you. Hallelujah. Your Father owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Jesus said, if you've seen me and the works that I do, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. What does that mean? Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus speaking to the weather, speaking to the stormy sea. Jesus said, you've seen me in the works that I do. Greater works than these shall you do. You don't believe that, do you?
Hallelujah.
I've seen it happen in my life.
Hallelujah.
I have spoken to the weather and it obeyed.
Hallelujah.
More than one time.
Hallelujah.
Not because it was me deciding I wanted to speak it, but God put the anointing on me and told me what to speak.
Woo!
And when I did, the wind, the clouds, the rain, and the sunshine obeyed my every word. That boy up there standing in front of y'all is a nutcase. We can't watch this stuff on live stream anymore. He's a nut job. You believe that if you want to. I know what I saw. I know what was in heaven in front of me.
And the Bible tells
us
so.
Amen. Greater works than these shall you do. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm not just talking about me. I'm saying in this last day that there needs to be signs following the believers. Signs of God. Signs of miracles. signs of prayers being answered, signs of healings at your word. It can happen if you're a child of God. If you're a child of faith, it can happen. Brother Mac, that's just a bunch of preacher hype to get you excited. No, it ain't. It's the truth. It's the reality. You can speak to the weather just like Jesus did on that ship. He said three little words, peace be still, and the winds and the rain and the waves suddenly stopped and were glass still.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. You have that power by the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. You know what that power is? It's power in the name of Jesus. It's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 1 and 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. You do not know who you are. You do not know who you are in Jesus. You are the last day's warriors of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's time you started walking and believing like you were. It's time you got so on fire for Jesus Christ, so excited about being filled with His power, that every morning when you get out of bed, the devil says, oh no, they're up again.
That's right. Hallelujah.
There's an old Carmen video. I love it. It's called Revival in the Land. In the video, the kingdom of hell is in the kingdom of hell, and the devil is sitting on his throne, and a little imp comes running up to the gate. The gate's open and the little imp comes running into the devil. And the devil starts naming off the things that's going on. And the little imp says, we got problems, we got bad problems. And he starts listing the works of the devil. And the imp said, no, all that's working good, all that's working fine. He starts listing all the bad things that the enemy's causing to happen on the world. And the little demon says, yes, but that's not the problem that we've got. He says, what we've got going on is some of those sanctified, blood-bought, spirit-filled saints of God on their knees, actually presently on their knees in prayer. And when he did that, the devil shook, and all of hell shook too. And then he said, and it's not the fact that they're praying that's giving us a problem, devil. He said, the problem is the subject of their prayers. They're praying for revival. Come on, somebody. Lift up the name of Jesus. The devil is terrified and afraid of a believer who knows who God is. The devil is terrified and afraid of a believer who knows who they are and knows who the devil is and that he's under our feet.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right. Amen.
There is still power in the name of Jesus. Hope for a troubled, dying land. Amen.
Amen.
We sang that song this morning. Would you stand with me today? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you repeat this prayer after me, you show me your right hand. Dear Lord, I'm a sinner.
Dear Lord, I'm a sinner.
Jesus, I know you're the Son of God.
Jesus, I know you're the Son of God.
I know you died on the cross for my sin.
I know you died on the cross for my sin.
You were raised again on the third day.
You were raised again on the third day.
Come into my heart and forgive me.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license A20958803, a Streaming Plus license A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road, just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kids Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night, Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m., and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m., or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, Hope for the Hopeless in a Hopeless World. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.